Battle.
Good afternoon and welcome. This is Kim Ariano, and you're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim. I'm very excited because in one moment I can't tell if it's going to be bright and shiny or if the next moment we're going to get hail. But right now in the studios up here at Alternative Talk, it's gorgeous outside. And I wanted to welcome everybody to this wonderful April. Can you believe that the year is 25% over already, Eric?
I can't. It's just flown by.
And that is Eric, our producer, who's on the show with us as well every time.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Good afternoon. It's great to have you here. Well, I did want to make mention that the show is sponsored by Pearson Law Firm. Expect expert representation and a wealth of experience and a kind, compassionate attitude from Pearson Law Firm. That is the Pearson Promise. And we had the Pearsons on last week, and man, did we have a great time with them. They're fun people, aren't they?
They really are, yeah.
Especially get the two of them together. And the Pearsons have a nonprofit organization called the Veterans Advocates Guild. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to make mention, we got to talking so much, we didn't have an opportunity to talk too much about that organization. But that organization is for women and, for women, for veterans and their families that need any kind of legal support. And so I just did want to mention that again, because they're looking for a law degree or inkling in that direction. There are a lot of veterans out there that need help in things like family services, bankruptcies, all kinds of things going on. And that's www.theadvocatesguild.org. And I'll put that information on my website. And also, don't forget, Walk the Book. And we're posting the shows here. We're going to get some more video up for you. And again, that's on Facebook, as well as a new feature called Walk the Talk Network. And the Walk the Talk Network is for those of you that's kind of geeky. Although Did we have a conversation about geeky, or was it nerd?
It was about geek.
It was about being geeky. Okay, yeah. So these are for all of my fellow philosophical, psychological geeks out there. We're starting a new page called Walk the Talk Network, where we talk about geeky brain things, and it's actually really cool. We've got what people do is they come on, and if they have anything that they found on Facebook or YouTube or any conversations or conferences that have to do with not only understanding the human brain but also understanding systems thinking and societies, we've got a posting on there from a woman who was a neurologist, and she had a stroke. And she talks about losing her left brain capacity and living completely in her right brain and approaching it from this scientific, really woo-woo perspective and seeing things that she's studied these things,
right,
but actually experienced it and went into detail on this video on how she experienced it. It's just absolutely fascinating. So that's Walk the Talk Network. I would invite you to come take a listen. And if you want to post, that's what this is about, is bringing the community together to talk about greater things than us. One of the things that we talk about, and I'm going to actually lead into my guest here today. We have with us Vonetta Barton, the executive director of the Foundation for Early Learning, and we're going to be talking with her in a moment. But one of the things that we did post had to do with education and how we are educating our children, and that our current education system was really founded during the Industrial Revolution. And when we look at how we segment, departmentalize, move through a process, it does have kind of an assembly line kind of feel to it. And it has been very successful, but the world is changing. And the person who's talking in this video is talking about the increase in attention deficit disorder and all of the different distractions that we have with our kids. And what if we were to focus an education system on looking at intrinsic values and intrinsic motivation? What would that look like? That's all really cool stuff for me. So go to the Walk the Talk Network and join in on the conversation, and please contribute. And hopefully we'll come up with some answers to some really, really confounding questions. And with that, I am very, very thrilled and excited to bring on our next guest again, Vonetta Barton. She's with the Foundation for Early Learning. And what got me excited about bringing this organization on, they're focused on birth to five and education of that group and that organization. She's going to tell you how they're doing that. But education, you know, those of you that know, I have a six-year-old and a nine-year-old. We talk about them frequently. But the education of that early, not only the kids, but also the parents and the system that is supporting the birth to five is going to be so incredibly important for us very quickly here as everything shifts and starts to change. Our economic system, our education system, everything is shifting and changing. And there are, you know, apropos you're on today, there are some very poignant conversations that are happening in Washington about what we fund and how we fund and what's important to individuals and what's important to the country. And so I wanted to welcome today Vonetta Barton. Thank you.
Thank you, Kim. Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
I get real windy with my introduction.
That's all right. That's all right.
I get excited and passionate. Yes. So tell us a little bit about your organization and what it is. What's your mission? What are you trying to accomplish?
Well, certainly. And thank you again for inviting Foundation for Early Learning to be here. Foundation for Early Learning has been around since the year 2000. So we are going into our 12th, 13th year. We're very excited about the work that we do across Washington State. And our mission is to really to find, fund, and foster and promote best practices in early learning that support kindergarten readiness for children birth to five. So what does that mean? Basically, we partner with groups around the state and around the nation to help children become kindergarten ready. Mm. It's said that 50% of the children in Washington State start kindergarten unprepared, and we believe that we can be a resource to communities to help them identify their needs in their community with their local school district to really make a difference in the lives of children, parents, and childcare providers and families.
Now, when you talk about kindergarten ready, what exactly does that mean?
Well, I'm glad you asked because it is jargon, it is lingo, and it means a lot of different things to different community members. We know this is a changing society or more global society than we've ever been, and so that means something different to everyone. And I guess the one thing that I would say is it does not mean that a child needs to know algebra by the time they start kindergarten. So most children, of course, start kindergarten when they are 5 years old or 6 years old, depending on when they're born. And of course, we know that we are a mobile society, which means that we are also, we have families that are joining us from another country that have come to Washington State from another state. And so we want to make sure that when that we can support our educational system, the teachers, the kindergarten teachers who are working with these little ones. And so you can imagine if I am a teacher and I'm not a teacher, but if I were a teacher in a classroom with 30 children, perhaps, but hopefully more like 15 children. But if I was in a classroom, I would love to have a group of children who are all within the same level of competency. And I don't want to say, think it's kind of odd to think about kindergartners and competency, but you know, there are many children who start kindergarten not familiar with their colors, not familiar with their numbers. And the one story that always breaks my heart is I was at a dinner party some time ago, and I was talking to an attorney, and her husband is a physical education teacher, also known as a PE teacher. And he said that it was amazing that at the start, the first day of kindergarten, when he asked the children to stand in a line, there were some children who didn't know how to stand in a line. Mm. There were other children who didn't know what the black line was. So that's one idea or concept. And then another superintendent in Washington State told the story that it was the first day of kindergarten, and this was actually this past year. And students, he noticed that a number of the children were holding books, kindergartners, holding books. And they they had the book upright because they knew how the book should look given the pictures. But they didn't know if the pages of the book turned left or turned right.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So those are the kinds of things where we know that diversity, expectations are very different amongst different families. And so we're helping parents and caregivers, childcare providers, to really think about what are some of the things that we can do as enriching early learning experiences between the time a child is born until the time they start kindergarten. So kindergarten readiness for us can be a lot of different things, but we're really talking about the social and emotional development of a child, so that they can participate in their classroom and really get a good start on their academic career.
Right. Do you think, and I know there's no one easy answer, but do you think it's a socioeconomic issue? Do you think that, you know, for example, I'm sure that there's a lot of kids that are in daycare type situations, and daycare ranges from very structured Montessori type schools to, you know, you go over to grandma's house and watch TV all day, and all points in between. Do you see a correlation from a socioeconomic perspective? Is it a cultural difference? Is it that the school district has shifted and changed a little bit? I wonder about that, because growing up when I was a kid, most of the moms stayed home with their kids, and we, you know, played with other kids on the block, and we started kindergarten, and we were all off and running. Has the game changed?
The game has changed. And I'd say it goes back to that global, being a global citizen and what that means for, I'm going to say Washington State, but we really could refer to families and school districts across the nation, and ultimately as it relates to other countries. Yes, the game has changed. And so I'm going to say social economic is probably the most obvious indicator. But I would also say that it's important to think about it from the standpoint of, it's not just the parent who's low income, the parent that's walking around the lake in a stroller but talking on the cell phone and not engaging their child, their little one, to the parent who is talking a lot to their friends on their cell phone, but not engaging their child in what they are doing. So
fascinating. So we're going to talk a little bit more when we come back about some resources that you have available. And also, I want to understand how we can help support and the funding and where it's coming from, because that's an interesting story. And we'll learn more about you. So you're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim and my special guest, Vonetta Barton, with the Foundation for Early Learning. Thank you, and come back.
Come join the original Adventure Boot Camp for Women in the Pacific Northwest. 7 years and running. See for yourself what it's all about. An experience you don't want to miss. Adventure Boot Camp is a four-week outdoor fitness program that offers fitness instruction, nutritional counseling, and motivational training. Packed with fun and energizing activities designed to help you build a strong, fit body and mind. Whether you want to lose unwanted fat to feel fabulous in your clothes, or if you want to boost your metabolism and renew your energy, this program is for you. Now is the time to get started. Class size is limited and fills quickly, so go to eastsidebootcamp.com or call Kimbro at 425-890-5037.
Ever feel like strangling your boss?
You little...
Or maybe you're the boss and your employees make you want to strangle yourself. Drop that noose and tune in or call in to The Boss Show, Wednesdays at 5 p.m. on Alternative Talk 1150. Hosts Jim Hessler and Steve Motenko, co-owners of Path Forward Leadership Development, will take your calls on everything boss-related, offering deep insights with a dollop of outrageousness. The Boss Show, workplace wisdom with heart and humor, Wednesday afternoons at 5.
Since 1977, Pearson Law Professionals have compassionately guided individuals and their families through the legal process to seek justice for insurance disputes and personal injury claims. Pearson Law has secured justice in civil matters with a network of resources, wealth of experience, and a compassionate attitude. That's the Pearson Promise. Call 800-423-8473. That's 800-423-8473 for a free case evaluation. Or check them out at walkthetalkwithkim.com.
There's nothing else like it on the dial. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim Arellano on Alternative Talk, AM 1150, KKNW. And I want to remind everybody that on April 17th at the Snoqualmie Ridge Golf Course. We call it, affectionately call it TPC. We've got the Snoqualmie Valley Women in Business Fundraiser. We're raising money for the Mount Si Senior Center, completely opposite spectrum from our guest today. But we are raising funding for them for the Mount Si Senior Center. And we are having a fashion show. And we are going to have different boutiques are going to come on, and we're going to have some models modeling some things.
Now,
we're
are also you going to be on the catwalk on this one?
I am not catwalking. Oh, I am actually going to be the MC of the event.
Oh,
and
right,
so I'm
going
to be the auctioneer.
Well, I thought you could do both things.
I'm going to be outfitted. I have been told that I'm going to be wearing some wares, but I don't know who I'm going to be wearing.
I'm sure it'll be very glamorous.
I'm going to tell you afterwards, the Wednesday after, I'm going to tell you who I was wearing. You know, that's what they do. They ask you.
That's right.
I'm going to do that.
Well, of course, all the paparazzi will be outside the studio already saying, what are you wearing today, Kim? What are you wearing?
I fully expect Joan, whatever her name is, to, you know, give me a thumb up that is the best dressed on the catwalk. No, I'm telling you, we've got some really gorgeous, gorgeous local women that are going to be up there doing it. I'm very, very excited to do it. It's going to be a great event. It's $15. And again, we're going to have cakes that we're going to auction off for dessert. Bring your family, bring your friends. It's going to be a big deal.
You had me at cakes.
Yes. And I just found out today, we're even going to have some gluten-free cakes.
Right.
And I'm very excited about that. So I'm going to be auctioning those. And you thought I could talk fast. Wait until I auction. It's going to be fun. Going to be exciting.
All right.
Told you about my bingo
about
experience. Yes, we're going to tell you all about it. But again, that's the 17th, and that's up at the golf course. Very glamorous. If you've never, have you ever been to the golf course up in Snoqualmie on Snoqualmie Ridge?
I have.
It's beautiful. You get that view of the whole valley. It's just absolutely gorgeous. Great venue. We're going to have a lot of fun. And I'll have more information on the Walk the Talk with Kim site. So welcome back, Vonetta. Thank you so much for coming today. We're very excited to have you. We were talking a little bit about birth through five and early education and some of the causes that children might be a bit delayed. I guess, is that appropriate to call that? You know, you think a head start, you think a delayed, and that kind of, I think that these are just normal kids. It's just that we've, some of us have different ideas on how we prepare kids, and some people are don't think that they have to really prepare their kids. Kindergarten,
that's
you
right.
Take naps, and that's where you learn your colors and learn how to read. And unfortunately, I know my pediatrician told me that I needed to get the kids into some sort of program, you know, even if it was part-time, because they would be behind as soon as they start kindergarten.
Well, I want to thank you. And the word delayed, I'd say we don't use the word delayed, but it is true that you can imagine if there is a parent who is reading to their child, not 8 hours a day, but just 15, 20 minutes, little some what we call lap time, just some time in the lap, just reading and spending time together, and you're walking down the street with your little one and counting the number of cars, or in the grocery store counting things and just engaging in conversation. And something as simple as, and I think about this a lot, I work downtown and I travel all over the state, and it's really fun when you see parents or you see strangers say to a little one, do you want to press the number in the elevator. It's amazing. Some children will know what the number 3 looks like or the number 16 will look like, and other children have no idea what you're talking about. That's something pretty simple, but there are early experiences and ways to engage a little one that makes that first day of kindergarten a richer experience. So while we don't use the word delayed per se, you can, again, think about the fact that if there's a diversity of skills or understanding or levels, educational levels in a classroom, it makes for a different learning experience. And if all of the children or the majority of the children knew their colors, or if the majority of the children knew how to sit quietly or play well with others.
My son missed that way. He doesn't know how to sit, although he's getting much better about that. He actually got a really good report card. I remember when my kids both went to Montessori school, which I thought was a great program for them, because it's very kind of like me, I'm not too big on structure. Uh-huh. And so it's hard for me, myself personally. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have boundaries at home, but me personally, structure, I'm very much, you know, let's go with how you feel. And as long as we're moving forward and enjoying our life, lives. That's what's important. And it was always important for me, especially before they start school, and even now that they're both in elementary school, is I really wanted to make sure that their experience was that they love to learn. Mm-hmm. I wanted them to have the enjoyable experience of learning how to learn. Mm-hmm. And that was more important to me than anything. And it seems like that 0 through 5, there's so many things that you can do to put joy and just learning, whether it's numbers, whether it's colors, I mean, all kinds of fun things. I went in and picked up my son. He was probably 3 and a half, and the teacher grabbed me and said, "Look what your son can do." And he's like, "Oh, that's a parallelogram. Oh, that's an octagon." I mean, just nothing, but it was something he enjoyed learning. Mm-hmm. And even if he didn't learn anything else, he learned that.
Sure.
So I hear what you're saying. By the time they get into kindergarten, especially the classes that have all day kindergarten.
Yes.
And I wondered, you know, those that have half day versus those that have whole day, do they go into first grade now? I mean, really, should it be birth to 7? You know,
well, funny that you say that, because in the early learning sector, and I would say that we work quite collaboratively across communities, and of course with our local school districts and others, pediatricians and librarians and the such. Some people would say, and people have heard me say this many times, some people say 0 to 5, some people say 0 to 7, 0 to 8, 0 to 12, 0 to 22.
Right.
It really runs the gamut.
40.
0 to 40, 0 to 65. One common phrase is cradle to college or crib mm-hmm. to career. Those are some things that people talk about. And I think the important thing is, and I can answer your question about the full day mm-hmm. Kindergarten versus part-time. But I would say in general, I think the difference is, again, going back to supporting parents as our child's first teacher, a platform that Foundation for Early Learning really embraces, is that even if your child were in kindergarten half day, and there is great value in that, that is a different experience. You're thinking about the enriching experiences a little differently. And when we talk about kindergarten, we're not talking about sitting down and reading a book from front to back. It is about playtime. It is about creative play. It is about just really having an enriching experience. And I keep coming back to that because I think, again, that really sets the tone for how this young person is going to be first grade, third grade, mm-hmm. and on down the line. As far as it relates to kindergarten, full day kindergarten and half day, we know that our state is like all states in the nation are challenged with budgets,
right?
And we do know that there is great value when you're able to invest in the early education of a young person, of students, and helping parents see their role in that, and we as a community playing a role. Passing levies, really volunteering at your local school district, and thinking about what are some community events that enrich and help parents. Of course, anytime that you can help parents who have limited resources, it's always a good thing. But it also benefits moderate and high income parents.
So, what types of organizations? We'll take a step back here,
sure,
for just a moment. We were talking about the actual kids themselves, but your organization is more of a granting organization, correct?
That's correct.
You raise money so that you fund the actual deliverers of these types of programs. Correct. Yes. Okay.
Yes, that's
I want to make sure I didn't
you're right
that
on.
I guess I make sure that's not right. That's right. So what kinds of criteria or what things are you looking for in a best class organization that provides these types of services when you're looking at granting money to these organizations?
Sure. Well, thank you. So Foundation for Early Learning is statewide. And we have a unique model in the sense that we do not fund one particular organization. We really believe that if we can provide startup funds to a community that's working, a group of people that are working collaboratively, we know that communities can identify their needs. So we believe in funding kindergarten community impact projects, specifically projects that get children kindergarten ready. There's a lot of data out there about things that you can do. Some are very specific, like an immersion class or mm-hmm. a language class, to just really creative play. So we do not dictate to our partners, and we don't use the word grant grantees. We use the word partners. We don't dictate to our partners what they must do, but instead encourage them to find out from their local school district, what is the need? What are you seeing in our little town across Washington State that would help our school district or help the children that are going to start kindergarten in 2 years or 3 years? And so what we do is we have an application process. We encourage people to go online and tell us about the kindergarten readiness project that they are very interested in. It could be a Friday night reading program or parent program or nutrition program. We believe that all children should start kindergarten healthy and ready. And so we really encourage groups to come together thinking about it from the perspective of apply for the grant, tell us what you're going to do and how you're going to directly impact the lives of children getting kindergarten ready.
Wonderful. And when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about the beginnings, the humble beginnings, not so humble beginnings of the organization. And then I want to hear a little bit more about you and your involvement in the organization. Great. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim on KKNW Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Thank you, Kim.
I am adding and subtracting. I'm controlling and composing.
Jerry and Michelle Pearson of the Pearson Law Firm are local residents just like you who have a passion to help those who have been wronged in our community. If you have a personal injury, automobile accident, property hazard, industrial injury, defective product, or nursing home neglect issue, award-winning Pearson Law Firm can help anywhere in Washington. Contact them today for a free case evaluation at 800-423-8473. That's 800-423-8473, or check them out at walkthetalkwithkim.com.
Hi, this is Julie Forbes. Join me on Wednesday afternoons from 2 to 3 p.m. for the Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. Listen to discussions on dog-related topics and call in to voice your opinion or ask my opinion about your dog. We will talk about everything from dog behavior to pet food to dog training programs in prisons. The Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. Tune in Wednesdays from 2 to 3 p.m. on Alternative Talk 1150.
Have you heard the phrase, the beatings will continue until morale improves? To organizations, employees are the biggest assets and biggest fans. If they're not feeling heard or appreciated, the bottom line will suffer. For mission-driven organizations, the reliance on employees and managers to rally around the core messaging is critical for success. At Ariano Consulting, we provide leadership best practices, education, and communication strategies for mission-driven organizations. Whether you're a business of one, middle manager, or leader in a large company or nonprofit, our experiential work workshops and focused on organizational psychology will assist you in achieving success with your messaging and vision. Call for a free consultation today, 425-888-9790, or check us out at www.walkthetalkwithkim.com. Ariano Consulting, achieving your message through understanding human behavior.
Don't forget, this is Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
I'm the operator with my pocket calculator.
Welcome back. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim Ariano. And of course, we've got Eric that always comes up with the best music on the show. I love it. And we're talking with Vonetta Barton with the Foundation for Early Learning. And we were just having a conversation about funding. There you go. And we were talking a little bit about how your organization, you don't call it grants, you call them partnering. And so let me start over. So you said you started in 2000. How did it start?
Well, thanks. We started at the time when our First Lady, Mona Locke, was looking at different activities across the state and what she wanted to do as First Lady. And this, again, this is back around in the late 90s, really looking at what was happening across the state as it related to early learning. I'll just use that term. It's the easiest one to come up with right now.
Mm-hmm. And there she was a great advocate for early learning projects. She was. I just remember her drive and passion. Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So Mona Locke and a number of other people started created a commission, the Commission on Early Learning. Many people who are still actively involved in the early learning, early education, the world of early education, early learning, they went on a listening tour and talked to different parents and found out that it was really important for a couple things. Parents wanted more resources. They wanted their employers to know more about the challenges that they faced with childcare. They also wanted to know that there was just more information so that their children, again, were healthy and ready for school. So we started out, first of all, looking at the science behind the fact that children are born learning. And there's quite a bit of activity happening at the University of Washington, specifically with Dr. Andy Meltzoff, who served on our board for a number of years, and his partner and wife, Dr. Patricia Kuhl. So the Institute for Learning and Brain Sciences played a key role.
Both my kids were little subjects.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go. The brain imaging machine.
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah, that and also in their psychology department, psychology of learning, and looking at them when they were, those young ages.
There's
that was a lot of fun.
There's a lot happening at the University of Washington, and a lot of applied science is happening at the Washington State University also. So we looked at what is the science, and then we said, okay, and so at the same time, we received a generous gift from Melinda Gates, and she's no longer involved in our organization, and we know that she does a lot more work globally, but specifically we were given a $10 million gift to do our work to the best that we saw fit. And so we said, okay, let's invest as funders, let's invest in access to high quality childcare. That goes back to the earlier part of our conversation. And then as we've evolved over time, we said, now let's support parents as our child's first teacher. So those are our two platforms. We do all of our work in partnership with child care providers, the Washington State Child Care Resource and Referral Network. There's a variety of different groups. And so from there, we said, okay, let us think about how we can, again, leverage our dollars, raise funds. And really what we do is we share concepts around early learning with the community at large. We are your typical organization that is fundraising, looking for donations. We have people who understand the importance of investing in Washington State as a state. It's certainly a workforce development issue.
Yes.
When the economy was different, we definitely knew that we should be thinking about our workforce 20 years from now. In these economic times, sometimes it's just important to think about our current workforce and how we can support parents as their child's first teacher.
Yes, and it's been 12 years.
It has been.
In your organization, it's I'm always looking at part of what I do. My consulting business is looking at multi-generational issues, mm-hmm. and so I'm looking at and trying to explain to baby boomers and Gen Xers how the millennial generation actually thinks. And now I'm looking at my kids and kids being born now, and what they're going to be exposed to moving forward. It's very schizophrenic in terms that it's all coming at them, but certainly that 0 to 5 is going to be even more important. But at the same time, we can't put our kids into a factory and say, okay, from the moment they're 6 month age, and be very regimented. Learning doesn't really work that way.
It does not.
And so how do we find that balance? I mean, that best practice of creating a space and environment for a child to discover his or her own talents, but at the same time, make sure that they're not going to be falling behind by the time they get into school. It's almost like we need less or more structure. I'm getting a little philosophical here, but I mean, it's almost like we need programs that say, okay, here's some of the milestones that they should be reaching. Everything else, it's whatever the child's kind of gravitated towards. And I think it's really sad that programs like art, physical education, library, music are always the first on the chopping block when you look at it. And I can't remember what I was listening to this morning, that Lincoln spent a lot of time in the theater And a lot of his ideas came from his opportunity to decompress and to enjoy the music and to enjoy the arts. And that was allowed him a holistic approach to how he dealt with issues. And I feel very bad. I think 0 to 5, I think we spent a lot of time working with art, with our kids and music and having fun and dance. But then we hit kindergarten stage and those programs are getting cut. So I don't know where I'm going with that, but we're talking about funding.
Mm-hmm.
And so your organization isn't a government-funded organization, correct?
No,
it's all privately funded.
It's all privately funded, and we receive wonderful support from corporations. We receive grants from some very generous family foundations. But more importantly, we have donors that give us wonderful gifts that people we don't know about, they just drop several thousand dollars mm-hmm. into our coffers because they've been watching us and think we're great and they don't want to have, they don't really have a connection to our mission. And then we have someone, a 7-year-old that comes to our luncheon and gives us $2 bills.
Oh,
I mean, it's just wonderful.
Man, that's excellent.
So we really do find that our ability to be a resource to the community, to share our information. And we always say that we believe that we really have to be a partner across the state.
Right.
It's not important to us to fly into or drive over to a particular town, but really, how can we advance this community? And through our ability to, again, not just share resources, but to receive those resources and invest them in a way that helps a donor, helps an investor leverage those resources. It makes a big difference. Again, what you could do individually, what I could do individually, what Eric could do individually, we pull all of our monies together, and then we make a bigger impact across the community and across the state.
Well, and that's why I love looking at organizations like your organization, that you're not creating the curriculum, so to speak, or you're not creating the program, but you have your fingers on the best practices and what's working in all different communities. You're a hub. And so someone who donates to your foundation knows that they're donating to somebody who is very well educated on what programs work, what programs are worth funding, and that just creates a much stronger community. I want to touch back on something that you had said last segment.
Okay.
And you had mentioned that you don't dictate to organizations. We talked a little bit about this on the break, and I really liked what you said about every community is different.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How are you seeing that kind of play out?
Sure. Well, again, we're statewide, and I have a very, not only a very generous board, but a very engaged board. And so we have board members from Pullman, Spokane, Skagit County, Clark County. We are based in Seattle, so we have a number of King County board members and board members from Walla Walla and Tri-Cities. And so our board members not only keep a pulse on what's happening in their community and are champions for early learning, but we also have a board of ambassadors that is very involved in early learning on a national, if not international level. And so what we know is that we're able to, again, partner versus we're not the grant maker and the organization or the collaborative partners that are coming together are not our grantees. That's not our language. That's not our culture. What we find is that our ability to disseminate information on our website, to also put things on YouTube, to provide startup dollars, venture capital, if you will, our ability to be a resource to the community set allows us to help groups come together and think about what is the work that's important to them. I won't get into the details, but we use a very simple model that allows groups to think about what do they want to do to help children, to ensure that all children are healthy and ready for school. And then, as you might imagine, if there is activity that's happening on the peninsula, that activity and that school district has a very different need than perhaps in a community where a company has just hired 2,500 new employees or 200 employees, or or a company has closed down. So all of those are very unique. It's important also to recognize that we think about pediatricians playing a key role in the life of a young child, birth to five. But in some towns, you don't have a pediatrician. You have a visiting nurse. And we also forget about the fact that libraries are a public entity, a public institution that anyone can go to, and they provide fantastic resources. So we want to encourage parents, regardless of their socioeconomic level, to participate in their children's education at an early stage. And we want to encourage communities to come together, and they know better than we what they need.
I love this. Yeah, this is so great. So what are some of the trends you're seeing? What are some of the brain pops that are going on out there as it relates to, you know, early childhood education?
Sure. Well, a couple things, and I'm going to be really just hit on some things without going into detail, and you can maybe inquire a little bit more based
okay,
on what
good.
You'd like to know, Kim. But just some real quick things. April is National Autism Month, so there's a lot more research around autism. We know that right now our legislators are in session. We know that the budget is a key issue, and so one of the things that we know that our governor is looking at is a Department of Education. I don't know how that is going to proceed, but there is, again, going back to that cradle to college connection. We also know that on a national level, we're dealing with financial challenges that have people questioning Head Start. Head Start is a great program, a national program that is often looked at as perhaps something that we need to cut. That's not a good thing. And then locally, we have our early childhood education and assistance program that also makes a difference. So I shared a little bit about the medical side. The other thing that I would say on a community side, we're seeing more and more collaborations. Groups are coming together to say, how can we work together? And that's pretty exciting.
So I want to expand on all of that.
Okay.
But unfortunately, we don't have enough time. We're running into a break. And so I'll chat with you on the break and we'll pick one, the autism side. I want to talk a little more about that. And also information on your organization, how we can get a hold of you and talk with you a little bit more. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim on KKNW AM 1150 Alternative Talk.
Whether they're working on an automotive accident case or helping a client injured by a defective product, the Pearsons are passionate about serving their clients. Their successful approach tackles the right issue at the right time with the best tools and expertise available. Clients rave about the Pearson Law Team's savvy abilities to ensure clients' voices are heard and to demystify the legal process and explaining choices and opportunities. Contact them at 800-423-8473 or PearsonLawFirm.com. That's P-E-A-R-S-O-N LawFirm.com. Or check out WalkTheTalkWithKim.com for more.
Hey, my name is Craig Goble.
And I'm Dory Z.
And I'm Rob Gray.
And together, we're the best thing you can do on a Thursday afternoon from 4 to 6. We're talking about leading-edge real estate topics.
Learn the ins, outs, and secrets of the real estate industry.
And why things work and why things don't every week on Real Estate Radio.
We'll tell it to you as it is, straight, honest, and from the cuff.
And where else can you listen to three real estate professionals who are doing this every day? We're in the trenches, putting transactions together and solving problems.
Real Estate Radio.
Tune in every Thursday afternoon, 4 to 6.
Hi, I'm Lauren Archer. I'm a hypnotherapist that helps people change their energy by changing their mind.
And I'm Lorelei Spiegelman, and I am an energy healer who helps people change their mind by changing their energy.
Together, we're the Soul Sirens of Seattle, and we invite you to join us on our show, Inner Spirit Medicine, Mondays at 3, right here on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
To find out more about us, join us at our website at soulsirens.tv.
Bringing you fresh perspectives every day. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
The This is Kim Ariano. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim, and we've got Vonetta Barton, the Executive Director of the Foundation for Early Learning, and we've had a wonderful conversation. This hour is never long enough. I've got to figure out how to have a three-hour show. That's just all there is to it, so we can have more conversations. But you had mentioned a lot of things moving forward, that really great things going on out there. But before we get to that, I want to learn a little bit more about you. So you've been the executive director since 2008, I believe.
That's correct.
Yes. How did you get involved in this organization?
Well, thank you. I have, through a couple different channels, have been involved in philanthropy and more specifically grant making. But what was exciting about this position, I joined actually as the program director at a time when Foundation for Early Learning was changing their grant making model from being a traditional grant maker where you applied for a grant and we gave you the funds, to again not only providing financial support, which are the grants and those are important, but the technical assistance. So what I really love is the ability to help communities come together and create a partnership, again a collaboration that's going to really last, make a lasting difference in their community. So from my perspective, for many years, I went to Central Washington University undergraduate. Yay, Wildcats.
I went to Central too.
We have to talk after yes, the show. Yay. And then I was in the credit union industry for many years and absolutely loved it. And financial literacy, again, literacy is a key piece in my world, but financial literacy was a piece. And then I did a lot of volunteer work and I decided that I would enjoy getting my master's in social work administration. So I went to the University of Washington and I focused on, again, organizational development as it relates to how do you make a difference in the lives of in my case, children, youth, and families. Ultimately, that ties into the community. And so when Foundation for Early Learning changed their grant-making model to focus on community groups coming together, I was very excited. And then in 2008, the founding executive director had been there for 8 years, again, just given our history, and decided that this was a good transition time for her. I applied as the internal candidate, and again, a very wonderful board from across the state really wanted to see us engage more people in community. So I, as you mentioned, have been the executive director since 2008, and I absolutely love it. And I think my board, my donors, are quite wonderful.
Yeah. So what has shifted for you personally? How has this helped you grow as a person? I mean, obviously, moving into an executive director position is you never expect what you think it's going to be sure. like when you do it. But what has this meant for you? What has this program meant for you?
Well, thank you. Well, one of the things that I used to do was a lot of volunteer work. And so always my career, either my volunteer work or my professional work has been around children, youth, and families. And so going from the program director position to my first executive directorship, probably the one thing that I would say is recognizing that people are very passionate about early education. And I don't have children myself, but I can tell you, no matter where I go, I can talk about early learning, childcare, it doesn't matter. The neighbor children, it doesn't matter. Early education, early learning, early literacy, early numeracy, early everything it ties into so many different facets of not only our lives but our society. So I love that. I mean, I can talk anyone's ear off at a cocktail party. The other side of that, I would say, from a professional development standpoint, I'm quite mindful that that our supporters, not just donors, but those who give us in-kind support, those who volunteer with us, those who just want to connect us with the right people, either an author or a researcher, or just someone who's doing some innovative work. I love that, personally love that. And so for me, it's really been that balance between, you know, you can't change your strategy every week. And so you're going down a path. I have a great staff, there's only six of us, and we do our work across the state by partnering. So that means that we have to be very clear about what we do and what we don't do. And we have a very collaborative culture. So when someone contacts us and wants to do something that's not ours, that's not our top priority, we're very comfortable sharing with other organizations so that that work can get done in a way that's meaningful to the people who are really passionate about the topic.
Throw in some puppies and kittens and you've got Nirvana. Oh my gosh, that just sounds so incredibly awesome. So how does somebody get involved in your organization? How do they donate? How do they volunteer? What are some resources that they can get from your organization?
Well, thank you. One of the things that we do, again, we're really just the connector. And what we see is that, again, if we all pull our money together, we can invest across the state and really make a difference in early learning. We can really move the needle. What that looks like for us is really that we always are looking for new supporters, new donors. We have a tier circle at the $1,000 level. We have a leadership circle at the $10,000 level. We have online resources. We have our early learning community. We also have a new program. Thanks to one of our benefactors, we now have a YouTube program. Thanks to a number of people, we are able to highlight parenting tips. Again, just resources that parents can tap into and get a quick snippet of.
And that's on YouTube?
That's on YouTube.
And what's the YouTube channel? Do you remember?
We do everything through earlylearning.org.
Earlylearning.org.
We drive everyone to earlylearning.org.
We need to change it from early childhood learning to right on time learning.
There you go.
Earlylearning.org. Yes. Okay, perfect.
And the other thing that I would say, you mentioned for the event that you have on April 17th,
yes.
You mentioned it's at the Senior Center. Well, we need to remember that this is an intergenerational issue, not only for baby boomers who are caring for young people, their young children, and also their parents, but also just recognizing that grandparents and that informal caregivers provide such a rich experience,
yes,
for children. So we really encourage people to not only introduce us to new people, but to be direct supporters of our work. They can do that online, again, at www.earlylearning.org. They can contact us. We're statewide. We love to talk to people. And it's always great to hear what people are doing and what they want to see for their community.
One of the things that, now that you brought up my beloved senior center, one of the things that they're really trying to promote is that it's a senior center, but it's a community center.
Mm-hmm.
And that any of the programs that they offer for the seniors, including lunch, is available to everybody.
Yes.
And so they have a bead making class. And so some kids go to the bead and they do make beaded jewelry, mm-hmm, right alongside seniors are making it right along with the kids, mm-hmm, and Zumba classes. And I've actually been talked into going to one of those very soon. So I'm going to go Zumba my way at Mount Sinai Senior Center. But you're right. It's not, what I hear you saying about that collaboration, it's not just about 0 to 5 and that's it. That's the group.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the whole entire community. And it's about all of us having our little pieces of it. But ultimately what has to happen is we all have to take care of each other.
That's right. That's
right. That's really what it comes down to, and support each other. Wonderful. So speaking of which, one of the things that we were talking about, the movement forward, we talked briefly about autism, mm-hmm, and it is National Autism Awareness Month.
It is.
What are some of the things that you're aware of that are going on around autism?
Well, again, we have not only our large state and universities, but we have some private universities and smaller, mm-hmm, independent universities that are all focused on education and tying that into child development. So there's great work, again, that's happening at the University of Washington, and more applied research that's happening at Washington State University. Central Washington University has their education program, and through that they have partnered with a program that's been around for several years, thanks to some wonderful benefactors in Yakima. Foundation for Early Learning was able to invest in Children's Village, and it is just a wonderful program where pediatricians, specialists from University of Washington, Central Washington University, spend time with parents of children with autism in a very unique and appropriate way at Children's Village. And this is actually beautiful. If you ever get a chance to take a tour of Children's Village in Yakima, you will absolutely, it's wonderful.
So it's an opportunity for them to study in real world environments outside,
yes,
of the 15 or 20 minutes that they have with the children to kind of observe and research?
They do research. They also have learning environments for the children. So it's really just one of those things where parents, pediatricians, and researchers are, and teachers are all working together. The facility alone is beautiful, and Yakima is very lucky to have that.
And this is one of your partners?
It's one of our partners, one of our investments many, many years ago that we still stay in connection with. Mm-hmm. And then there have been, there's a wonderful couple down in Pierce County that sold their business. Their son is over the age of 18 and he has autism, and they've written a wonderful book about how they manage as parents. You have dreams for your child, and when you find out that they are autistic, you have to shift that perspective. And they've done a wonderful job in talking about what that meant for them as a couple and for a as a family and a community. So there's lots that's happening. And it's a very, I should say, collaborative community. And then there are some great trainings that happen over in Spokane. So good work happening across Washington State.
Wonderful. And do you have any fundraising events coming up?
We had a wonderful luncheon. I just lit up on that. We had a wonderful luncheon that you can find again at www.earlylearning.org.
Good.
We have all 40 minutes on YouTube. Rob Glazier was our speaker, and he is the father of three early learners, and he interviewed his parents. So again, intergenerational. We have cultivation parties that we do. We do tours. We're a variety of things. People call us and we make it happen.
Excellent.
We're nimble.
Vonetta, thank you so much. I thoroughly enjoyed this hour. Thank you for spending the time with us. This was great information. I'm going to post all of this on www.walkthetalkwithkim. I'll get the video up as soon as I can, but you can get a rebroadcast audio. And don't forget, if you have an iPhone, iPod, or iPad, you can sign up to Walk the Talk with Kim and get these downloaded anytime. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk with you next week. This is Alternative Talk, Walk the Talk with Kim.
Thank you, Kim.